is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe, along the Dnieper River Valley, is in a battle zone. At the same time, since March of this year, it has been occupied by Russian forces. The risk to the region and to all of Europe is at hand at any moment because the nuclear power plant itself is not secure for a supply of electricity that is critical to keep the containment vessels stable. However, now we move to the actions of Russians and Ukrainians in this combat zone. The report right now from Kyiv. December 8th, yesterday, the Russian military broke into the premises where the ZNPP's Department of Social Programs is located, and in the presence of other employees, severely beat the head of the department, Oleksiy Trubenkov, and his deputy, Yuni Andrasov. After a severe beating, the invaders took them out of the premises and drove them away to an unknown destination. In addition, goes the report, the invaders detained ZNPP employee Konstantin Biner, who is a licensed person and is directly responsible for nuclear and radiation safety. He also was abducted. This allegation comes at the same time we have news that from Kyiv that the Russians have located weapons of war in the immediate premises of the nuclear power plant, in specific Grad rockets. All of this contravenes assurances or at least qualifications that we've learned from the IAEA and Director General Grossi these last weeks that the plant is being monitored by the IAEA and that safety is highly valued and that the employees are cooperating in this monitoring. However, I turn to Henry Sokolsky, the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, who has been my guide on this matter since March. Henry, a very good evening to you. Your measure. The IAEA says that it has inspectors or informants in the plant to assure all is well when it comes to safety mechanisms. I do not know if those inspectors at the same time are responsible for reporting abductions and beatings. What is your understanding of where the IAEA is in solving this dilemma? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think they're behind the curve. And they're being defensive insofar as the Ukrainians have pointed out that they would like to be currently informed of what the IAEA monitors might know about the maltreatment of the staff. And the rejoinder that was made publicly by the IAEA is, well, we're not a human rights organization, and you can't expect us to know or report on this. Meanwhile, the IAEA beats its breast publicly about how important it is that the staff not be maltreated, and that one of the pillars of safety that the IAEA promotes is, you know, the integrity and proper application of staff expertise on safety matters at the plant. So they seem to be having it a bit both ways.
The Ukrainian staff at the plant is a captive to run the plant. The Russians also have brought in their supervisors who have access to, I understand, the secure room where the plant's security monitoring is done. All of that has been in place for some time. However, it comes to a larger question that Henry has helped me understand has not been solved. Who owns the plant? Whose plant is this? Is this Ukrainian territory occupied by Russians? Is this Russian territory harassed by Ukrainians? Has that been resolved by the IAEA, Henry?
Well, to the IAEA's credit and that of Rafael Grossi, he has been public and the agency has been clear that this is a Ukrainian plant owned by Ukraine. The Russians have been adamant, no, it isn't. And possession, as we all know, is 90% of the law. The question next is, are they seriously in Vienna going to get a what's called a safety zone, which is a zone where combatants, both Ukrainian and Russian, agree to certain terms? If they do, And I'm not sure that's in prospect because the Russians are not interested in it. It appears, at least that's what they're saying publicly. If they do agree to it, it's going to be really important that in that agreement, who owns it is agreed to. And if they don't, that safety zone could be an unsafety zone. It could be a real problem for the future.
I'm looking to understand if there's law or precedent on this previously. And you guide me to a dispute many years ago about armed clashes between parties in Cambodia in and around the Temple of Priya Vihear. Does this inform the decisions that the IE has in front of it as to how this plan is to be protected?
Well, I got that from a lawyer, a national lawyer, Tom Grant, who used to work in the State Department on these matters. And the long and short of it is, yeah, it looks relevant because what he points out, and I think correctly, is they stated in the agreement there that, well, we are going to put aside who owns the temple. And of course, this has caused real mischief because they haven't settled, you know, who does own it even today. The flip side, he argues, and I think correctly, is if you want to avoid that problem, you need to be assertive in the agreement as to who owns it. I have no idea of whether or not the IEA is insisting on that. I hope they are. And, you know, we have to watch. But more important, you know, is a zone, really? I mean, I think the only solution for a real safe zone is for the people who own the plant to be able to occupy and get the other folks out of the plant. And that would be the Ukrainians. We'll see if that happens.
The Wall Street Journal reported before this most recent incident, several days before, the IAEA has kept a rotating mission of between 2 and 4 observers at the plant since Grossi visited in September. However, several workers at the plant told the Journal that those observers are giving priority to plant safety and securing nuclear material and have been less focused on ascertaining whether the staff are being abused. That isn't a definitive answer, but it suggests that Mr. Grossi is editing his mission. Henry, any casual observer from the outside not fully informed of the safety of nuclear power plants would ask, why is Russia being permitted to participate in IAEA decisions? And my memory is a deputy or a senior figure in the IAEA is a Russian national. Is there an answer from Mr. Grossi how it is that he continues to trust or at least do business with Russians who are abusing his responsibility?
He hasn't because he has not been asked. He has not been pushed by I won't say any because I'm not sure I know, but certainly not the major governments and not our government. And I think you can tell by the tone of my voice, that's more than curious. I think it's regrettable. There are provisions in the IAEA charter to suspend. I mean, if not, you know, throw out, at least suspend the voting rights of members who violate basically the rules. And I mean, it certainly can be interpreted one way or the other, but I think the finger of our thinking on the scales of justice ought to be pressing down on, I think you've gone too far. We have not made that case. We have not put any pressure, to my knowledge, to get a suspension vote. And I think even if you did not win that vote, it would be close on the board. And close enough that it would be very useful to see where people are on that. We've chosen not to do that. It could be that the other equities that we think we have to negotiate with regard to Russia, whether it's arms control or God knows what else, has prevented us from going in that direction. But that's where we are.
This reporting is before the report of the most recent abductions and beatings. So I want to emphasize that. Before.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The IAEA's mandate is to observe safety and security conditions. However, the Wall Street Journal reports very carefully. The third of the agency's 7 safety pillars reads, the operating staff must be able to fulfill their safety and security duties and have the capacity to make decisions free of undue pressure. I would say beatings satisfy the violation of that third pillar. So, Henry, what is it we're waiting for from Mr. Grossi? What is possible?
I get that. Well, what we're waiting, and in fairness, he is an international, I won't say bureaucrat, but official. And he is subject to the pressures of the board that he serves. So unless someone like the United States and like-minded nations speak up about this, he is not going to risk the ire of Russia, maybe others on the board, by proposing to suspend. I think we're the problem more than the IEA is. We've chosen not to make a point of this.
And how does that advantage the United States if we are not speaking up and complaining to Mr. Grossi? What would result from that positive?
Well, I mean, I can only speculate, but reasonable minds might focus on, bargains to get basketball players out of jail. They might speculate about arms control agreement negotiations to continue inspections for START, which, have not gone very well. There could be any number of issues that we still want to have an open channel on. And the argument would be, well, if that's the case, we can't ruffle any feathers. My guess is that's a great truth argument. That's always true of every case. And therefore, it should not be our guidance. We have to always balance. At what point do we say, no, we can't continue as if they're normal? This is really unacceptable behavior, and we have to make a point of it.
Back to that report of weapons of war being stationed at the plant. Is that a threat to the plant, Henry, or is that war fighting? Can we regard this as anything to do with the safety procedures?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, obviously, there are Ukrainians on the other side of that river from the plant, and the Russians would like nothing better than to fire on them. And this is a terrific location to fire from because it's not that inviting to fire back if for God's sakes you make a miss and you hit something that's radioactive that you didn't want to hit. So the Russians are exploiting that. It's a safety issue. And it's part of the reason why the Geneva Protocol 1977, which the Russians withdrew from and which we have not ratified, are very clear that you shouldn't do that.
Henry Sokolsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We're going to turn to another nuclear weapon matter. This has to do with China and the puzzling revelations in the Financial Times in these last hours that China is restraining Russia about nuclear weapons. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.